What's up, everybody? Hello, and welcome to yet another episode of the Army of Smartness podcast. This is the 2024 debut episode. Well, not the debut episode of the show, debut of 2024 show. But anyways, up on the show today, of course, we're going to a new format following 1996, week by week as it happens, because it lines up perfectly with 2024. But there's also some things happening in the world of wrestling today, such as Mr. Jericho apparently is having a few issues. Of course, talking about the Ayatollah of NDS's or NDAs, not NDS. I don't know what the hell I'm thinking of NDS. But anyways, The Rock has finally come back again to WWE. Kevin Dunn has been future endeavored. We got us a new devil in town, and his name is Adam Cole, baby. And MJF taking a little time off. He took some time off from that the Iron Claw movie. I did not see him anywhere in it. But anyways, because I am...
He was in it for 30 seconds.
That means there is a true superstar on this show. He just got his pink Stanley Cup. Of course, I'm talking about JD. JD, how you be?
Hear that? That is the sound of a genuine purpose. Yeah, I just found out about the Stanley Cup thing here the last day or so, and my wife actually explained it to me this morning. I was incredibly confused because, to me, the words Stanley Cup has a very specific meaning when used together. What is this, Ryan? Talk to me about your, now, to me, it strikes me a lot as when the Yeti cups came out. It's like, ice is so expensive. You need to keep it around for 4 days in your cup, in your $80 cup. Let me, by the way, if your drink is sitting around for 4 days, you don't really want it. Let's be honest with ourselves. Go ahead. What you got, Ryan?
Well, you know, there's a company known as Stanley. They specialize in outdoor stuff, cups, tools, things of that nature.
And now cups for tools.
Well, apparently there is a new frenzy going on, particularly at Target, where they have a pink Stanley Cup, not to be confused with the actual Stanley Cup.
Lord Stanley's Cup.
It is a... Well, I mean, there's no other way to put it. It's just a damn Stanley cup with that's pink. Yeah, it's called the
Quencher. Brilliant marketing.
It's called the Quencher, and I guess with Valentine's Day rolling around, you know, everybody wants to get in the spirit. People are literally camping out at Target to get said cup.
What?
Yes.
I was unaware of this. I just thought they were just marketing one.
Yeah, no, it's just it's called the Pink Stanley Quencher. And
but camping out for it, what are they drinking while they're waiting? And what are they drinking it out of?
Probably a Tervis. Or a Yeti. You know, stuff people actually use.
Why didn't people do this? Why didn't they release this before Christmas? I feel like that would have been a better... You know what? Never mind. Forget it. Okay. Stanley Cup. Great. Wonderful. Well, let's move on. Let's talk about the most electrifying man in sports entertainment returning to the WWE, Ryan.
And JD, we'll get to that. But before we do,
that's a great Jericho segue.
Let me just encourage everybody to follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook at Army of Smartness, and an email that Gmail, armyofsmartness@gmail.com. Take it away, JD. My apologies.
No, it's all right. No, Triple H, in a fit of Dixie Carterian giddiness, tweeted out, X'd out, twixt out that a former WWE champion would be returning at Raw, and wouldn't you know, lo and behold, he did. The most electrifying man in sports entertainment. That's right, Jinder Mahal back in the WWE, Ryan. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I don't think he ever left.
Was he ever fired? I don't know what happened.
No, he was never fired.
Okay.
Vince loves him. And no, he's still there.
Okay, good for him. But then, yes, of course, Dwayne jo Hollywood actor Dwayne Johnson, known by some to some as The Rock, also came back. And so not only has Cody's story been robbed from him, because now we're going to do this head of the table thing most likely at WrestleMania. Now also CM Punk has come back to main event WrestleMania, but wouldn't you know it, part-timer The Rock swooped back in again to take his WrestleMania main event yet again for the second time in a decade. So look. Am I the only one that does not give a flying French fried curly fry that The Rock is back? Am I alone in this?
Clearly.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, we had two ready-made storylines right there, and he's going to supersede them both. All right, that's fine. Go ahead and do that. To me, you should have taken the belt off Roman last year, and then this would be a perfectly great, a phenomenal match, because The Rock's not going to carry the belt, so you know he's not going to win it.
Well, who says that Roman's going to have the belt whenever they go?
No. Cody has to win at Mania. Remember, that's the whole thing. We talked about this last time. It has to be at Mania.
He still can.
And it has to be against Roman. Or else he might as well not have done any of this.
He still can.
You're gonna have Roman Reigns back to back main event both nights of WrestleMania
Why
with
not?
Chicago-made Aloysius Punk waiting in with Randall or friend of the show Carl's own Randy Orton. Back in the WWE, and you're gonna double dose us with Roman Reigns. You're gonna shove him down our throats one last time. That's what you're suggesting, Ryan.
No, I'm just saying you seem to be jumping to conclusions,
Oh yes, both feet.
you
What's
don't, and I
we are
don't know if you
uniquely
have,
unqualified.
and I don't know if you have one of those jump to conclusion mats,
I do. It's horrible, this idea.
but I'm sitting back and watching it. I've wanted to see Rock versus Roman for a while, so
No, I agree. That's not a
I'm
bad
getting
idea
it.
in and of
I'm getting it,
itself.
and I'm not going to bitch about it.
I will. Don't worry, I'll do it for you. Yeah, it's not a bad idea in and of itself, but get in line, Dwayne. We've been building this story for a year and a half with Cody, and they wouldn't let Sami Zayn derail it. I don't want The Rock to derail it now.
Or that, they could just take it off him at Royal Rumble.
But that's not
Possible.
Mania. I mean, they've spent 38 years telling us that Mania is all that matters, and now you're gonna do it at a less than pay-per-view,
No,
which God knows we all love the Royal
they
Rumble.
no, wait a minute now. They have not told us that for 38 years.
Oh, really? What's your favorite? Who comes back to get their Royal Rumble moment?
Well, Rock and CM Punk had
Huh? Who
one.
comes back to get their Royal? Who talks about Royal Rumble? Who talks about SummerSlam moments incessantly? Who talks about Survivor Series or Fastlane moments? No, it's always, I need my WrestleMania moment.
Saying that if you take the belt off of Roman at Royal Rumble, the only WrestleMania moment that you could have is Cody versus Roman and Cody going over, but you take that away. So you're telling me that there's no WrestleMania moment to be had without that?
For whom?
It, just in general. You're talking about
No, I
everybody
mean,
wants their
nothing is.
WrestleMania moment, and
Yeah.
you're tying it, which I believe erroneously, to the fact that Roman must go in as the champion and lose it there. There is no other WrestleMania moment to be had. I think that's wrong.
Well, here's the thing. What was the whole deal about last year? Oh, Cody's going to finish this story. He's gone through all this crap. And Roman is the most dominant champion, or at least the longest running champion we've had since Hogan. And all this crap. Okay, he went and lost. So now if he goes back and wins it at Royal Rumble, I mean, it's not as big as if he had won it at Mania. That's what I'm saying. I'm sure they could find some jabroni and paint him up as Doink and have a Doink versus Stardust match at WrestleMania. We'll all have a great laugh about it. That would just be wonderful. What a moment. What a maneuver.
Honestly,
But
I
no,
would love that.
they're pissing the Cody story down their leg. And if they want to do that, that's fine. But as Jim Cornette would say, why don't they piss on his mouth while he's down there? Just this was not worth doing then if this is how it's going to end, in my estimation. Now, metric business-wise, of course, they're selling tons of merch. They're making money hand over fist off of it. I understand that. But from a creative standpoint, to me, this will have been a failure.
So you're telling me you're not going to watch it?
What?
Roman versus Rock at Mania.
Oh, I'll be far. I will well be in bed by the time that occurs. No matter, even if it was Cody, that's on a school night, my good sir. And I got kids, in the immortal words of Heath Slater. So I'll catch it sometime that next week,
Well,
probably.
I'm not saying let's catch it live. I'm just saying you're going to watch it. Yes.
I mean, it's WrestleMania. I watch it every year,
Okay.
eventually.
Okay. Just checking.
But narratively and creatively, will I be dissatisfied? Yes, I will.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I don't know. We'll see and see how they play it out. Honestly, I think you could probably put it on Randy at the Rumble and
Hey, there you go, Charles. Good job.
then have Cody take it off of Mania. I think it'd still be a great match. And it's still good. Still
Oh, it
good.
would be a fine match, but I mean, the whole thing is that, oh, Roman's had it a million billion years. Roman's had it since the glaciers melted. Oh, Roman's had it since Australia broke off from India and became its own continent. And now, oh, Randy's going to get it now. He needs another accolade. Good for him.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think any mania that you add The Rock to is going to be good. I mean,
Oh, it could be worthy. Yeah.
it's going to draw a lot of money, and people are definitely going to remember it.
Listen, I think Rock Roman would have been the perfect WrestleMania this year had Cody won last year. Because you come back now, Roman's trying to grab and maintain control over the family. And, you know, Jay does his main event, Jay does his thing and splits off. We have some undercurrent rumblings with Solo. Yeah, we got all whose side is Heyman on and all this. Then The Rock comes in to, you know, reassert his dominance at the head of the table. So he didn't even need the belt for that.
I'm going to go ahead
I
and
just think that
tell
would have
you
been a
what
better story.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you what my prediction is on this.
Please do. I wish you would.
Roman retains at Mania, or not Mania, the Rumble.
Over.
Elimination Chamber. It's a fatal four-way. It's like LA Knight, AJ
Yeah.
Styles, and I think
Swole.
one other person. Anyways.
Randy Orton.
But anyways, I think he retains at Mania or Rumble, excuse me. Elimination Chamber is going to be in Perth, Australia this year. They're making a big to-do out of that. Australia's paying them a lot of money.
Yeah.
And one, I think, by the way, I think CM Punk's going to win the Rumble this year. And,
I'm good with that.
I'm thinking that they're going to put Roman with Randy in the Elimination Chamber. I think Randy beats him somehow. I think maybe probably how that's going to go is that the Bloodline interferes, The Rock comes in, beats up the Bloodline, and then gets back at Roman. Randy wins. Randy is, which would then make him, I believe, a 15-time champion.
I think 16, actually. I think this ties the record. I think his next one ties the record, doesn't it?
He's either at 14. I think he's at 14. Maybe
Well,
I'm
he's
wrong.
right there. Yeah, he's right in there amongst them. So, yeah, I think you're right, actually, now that I think about it again. I think he's at 14. I don't have a problem with Randy meeting or even breaking the record, right? I think he's earned that over his years. So, I don't have any problem with that. What I would do,
And I
sorry,
think at
go ahead. You didn't
Mania,
finish, please.
I think at Mania you're gonna have Cody versus Randy. Cody goes over. I think you're going to have CM Punk versus Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins goes over. And I think obviously you're going to have The Rock and Roman for head of the table. And obviously Roman comes out on top on that one. Which would still, that would be a great pay-per-view. I mean, just with those three matches,
In
that's
a
something that I
vacuum,
would
I
want.
agree.
That is
In a
something that I
vacuum, I
want
agree.
to see. Especially, Randy and Cody, they're both second generation, I believe. Oh, yeah, second generation wrestlers. I mean, they come with a lot of prestige to them, if you will.
If you
And
will.
I think that would be a good one to have. Is that the way that they go? Anything could happen, injuries, any of that other stuff. So, but. Yeah, I think that that's probably That's my best guess as to how they're going to book it. But I don't know.
Yeah, so I mean, here's what I would do given where we sit right now, right? Status quo basically until Mania. I mean, I would have CM Punk win the Rumble. I agree with that. Hell of a showing for Randy or whomever else at eliminate, particularly LA Knight at Elimination Chamber, but Roman retains through some chicanery, some Solo Sikoa-ing, whatever you got to do. And then I would have, I mean, this. Well, actually, you know what? Let's not put the belt on the line at Hell in a Cell or what was it? Is it Elimination Chamber? I'm sorry, that's one in Australia, right?
Yep.
All right, have your head of the table there. Don't put it at WrestleMania. I would say have Roman win because I don't think it does The Rock any good to win it. And then you've got Roman with all the momentum in the world heading into WrestleMania, where he will face Cody because CM Punk is going to select your friend and mine, laughing boy Seth Rollins, to get his title. Now, I say that Punk beats Seth for the belt at Mania and set him up with a feud at SummerSlam with Randy. I would say put the belt on Randy. Thank you're welcome, Carl. At SummerSlam, I think that's worthy. I would say let's put the belt on Cody at Mania like we should have last year, and maybe even as soon as the next pay-per-view. Because when does the Money in the Bank belt cash in? When does that expire?
I think until the next
The next Money in the Bank, what
Money
is that,
in
like
Bank.
June? Is that June?
I don't remember when they have it.
Anyway, I would have Romance Novel Undertaker cash in on Cody because the chase for the belt is generally better for a babyface than actually them having the belt. So yeah, he needs to conquer Roman, but you give him a month or two to hold the belt and then put it on Romance Novel Undertaker and away we go on that. That's how I would do it considering where we are now, but I think they've kind of painted themselves in a little bit of a creative corner. Speaking of being painted into a corner, it's now 41-17 New Orleans Saints versus your Atlanta Falcons, who are trying to give Arthur Blank enough fool's gold to retain Arthur Smith into next year. Hopefully, thank God that won't happen now. I mean, he might have to walk home from New Well, he could catch a FedEx plane from New Orleans.
Speaking of being painted into holes, Chris Jericho is in the news. He apparently is being accused of maybe doing some not so nice things to Miss Kylie Rae.
That has not been directly accused yet. I mean, let's cover our ass yet, but go ahead.
No, he's been accused.
Oh, did something else come out?
Well, no, I mean, it's just there was a the whole thing started over a Twitter post saying, "Hey, I wonder if they'll talk about what happened with Chris Jericho and Kylie Rae," and then Kylie Rae just put like a heart on it or something like
Right.
that. So the whole thing started on accusation. So
Well,
there is
back
not.
up, actually. No, it started a little bit earlier than that. We'll go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I'm talking about that specific, the sexual abuse. I'm not talking about the.
Whoa, that hasn't even been directly alleged yet. Easy
Or
killer. Woo.
assault, or whatever the hell you want to call it. He did something out of the way. How about that?
Alleged, first of all, allegedly. Secondly, all right, this started when Jericho. Well, look. We can't be slanderizing folk on
I'm not
interstate
slandering
podcasts.
anybody. I'm reporting what was
Oh,
out
throwing out
there.
words like sexual assault and sexual abuse. Now, that's slanderous. All
That
right, so
is,
let's back up a
it
little
is not slander for me to say that it's being done. All right, let me pull up the damn news article.
All right, back up. What started this? What precipitated this was there were some NDAs signed apparently with the whole CM Punk, Bucks, Ace Steel, that whole thing. Okay. Fine, whatever. Legal counsel has gotten involved on the behalf of CM Punk and Ace Steel. All right. Jericho, for some reason, gets a bug up his chimney on Christmas morning and starts tweeting that I've never signed an NDA. I've never adhered to any corporate handbook because there was some question about, what, this contravenes bylaws of the AEW employee handbooks. Like, I've never had any of that crap. You're full of shit. This, that, and the other. I'm paraphrasing. And then The legal counsel of note says, no, it's this. Here's a picture of the employee handbook. If you don't have one, don't worry about it. We'll get you one. We'll go over it. And then Nick Houseman, I believe, noted wrestling commentator and journalist, said, "Well, Chris, what about all the NDAs you make other people sign?" And that's all it was at first. Then some third parties started coming out with, "Oh, yeah, there was an incident with Kylie Rae because she was at AEW's first show, and then like a month later, she requested a release from the company and took off." And they said, maybe, Chris made a pass at her or whatever the case may have been. There was some allegation that she was invited to his hotel room, what she thought would be other people there, and it's going to be a party or hanging out or whatever. And it was just him, and no one knows for sure. Well, the two of them only know for sure exactly what happened there, but there may have been some impropriety at some level, but we don't know what exactly. And yes, she hearted that. And then Houseman said, "Look, I'm not saying that he did anything with Kylie Rae. That's not coming from me. I'm just saying I know he has had people sign, he being Jericho, had people sign NDAs in the past." That's where it's at, as far as I know right now. If more has come out, please enlighten us.
So sexual harassment. Good.
Sexual harassment, panda.
But anyways, there seems to be some sort of something going on with that. Don't really know a whole lot about it. If everybody did sign an NDA, then probably won't know much about it.
Yeah, probably not.
Unless, of course, it's a legal activity, which you can't do.
Right,
But
which you
anyways,
can't NDA away.
yeah, no.
Yeah, if you were, and now see, okay, to me, there's a spectrum of things that may have occurred here. So let's speculate baselessly, shall we? Now, if it's rises to the level of what you're talking about, sexual abuse, sexual assault, whatever, that is one completely different thing. If he made a pass at her and she shot him down and she's kind of felt awkward, like, I don't really want to be involved in this, and left, to me, that's a different thing. Now, ought he to have done that as a married man? No. That's between him and his wife. And Kylie really, and frankly, none of my affair. See what I did there? But if that's, well, hey, he said, "Hey, you and me, babe, how about it?" And she said, "No." Okay. That's, kind of creepy, Chris. But other than that, no harm, no foul, really. But if there was something, shall we say, actionable that occurred, that's a whole different situation. That's a whole different kettle of fish from my perspective. So yeah, maybe we can find out something about this. I don't know what's going to come out, or if it's just going to kind of go away. But if I were
But
Chris Jericho,
to
I'd stop poking hornets' nests. Go ahead.
clarify, harassment can be words. Assault means you touch them.
Right. I'm aware of that.
Okay. Just
But that's what I'm saying.
making
There's
sure.
a range of things that could occur here. We start throwing out terms like sexual abuse. Whoa, pump the brakes. We're not that far yet.
It might be, you never know.
It might be, but we don't know that. It might be as innocuous as, "Hey,
I never
you're
said
hot.
that
Do
he
you want to
for
go do
sure did
something?" And she's
it.
like, "No."
I never said that he for sure did it.
Yeah, but I'd be careful throwing those terms around.
I'm just saying it's out there. Okay. That's
Maybe
it.
it was out there. Maybe he put it back. I don't know. I wasn't there.
Well, you know what? Chris Jericho, since I know you're listening to us,
Of
call me.
course.
We'll talk. But anyways, damn, moving on. Let's see. We talked about hindering the gender being up there, but now we got the devil himself in AEW, who is Adam Cole,
Yes.
baby.
As we all knew it would be. Not really. Now, I
I'm
have to assume this means
completely.
that he's okay. He's cleared to wrestle again, right? Because he can't say, "Hey, I'm the devil." Oh, I still can't wrestle for 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're just sort of, I'm completely uninspired by it myself.
I just went too long, and now MJF is off anyway. So who's Adam Cole going to bedevil? What's the
Yeah.
point?
MJF is dealing with some injuries at this point. It looks like he may have to have surgery,
And
a little bit
he dropped the
before
belt to Samoa Joe, which, by the
the.
way, first of all, AEW their flowers. World heavyweight champion Samoa Joe. I could get behind that 100%.
No, I like that.
Yeah.
Well,
Better late than never.
AEW, we crap on AEW quite a bit,
We do. And we will continue to.
but they've done some things right. I feel like the way that they
No,
book,
this is
feel
one
like
of them.
I feel like the way that they book Sting has been great. That's what he deserves.
They treat him like a legend. I'll give them that. And that puts him way ahead of WWE.
This one's not jobbing him out at Mania. I think MJF has done a good job, and putting the belt on Samoa Joe, I don't hate that at all either.
No, love it. Love it.
Chill out with the flippy shit, and then we'll
Yeah,
talk about the rest of it.
let's not damage each other's brain cases anymore.
Yeah, but all in all, I think AEW has done some good things out there. We it's not a constant crap fest on them
No,
from our
listen.
end.
Well, I think that if we saw no hope there, we wouldn't even bother, right? I mean, we all want a good emphasis on good, reliable, for real competition for WWE. And if we didn't see any hope there at all, we wouldn't care. But we do see hope that makes us care. Like right now, I
Still,
care about you, so I hope you stop coughing or dying of coughing up a lung, whatever that
tell you
is.
what, over our short little break here, I had the flu and the cough is still lingering. This
Like
to this day.
I was refilling my drink, you caught the flu?
No.
Oh, our
But
holiday hiatus, if you
once
will.
we, the cough is still lingering on that, but otherwise I'm all right.
We're good.
JD, as we've explained in our previous episodes, we're going 1996 week by week as it happens, because 1996 lines up perfectly with 2024. Gosh, this seems not so long ago, but very long ago.
Yeah, it's you read about it, you're like, or you watch it, and like, man, I remember this happening. And then, yeah, then you reflect upon it's been almost 30 years.
So we're, as we stated in a previous episode, 1996, a very pivotal year for both companies. WWF is kind of on the ropes at this point, and WCW is looking for a knockout blow, basically in this year. Of course, this is the year that the NWO starts, but it doesn't start out that way. It still has lingering effects from the previous 3 years where it's, the creative just isn't what it used to be. On
Right.
for certainly for WWF side, WCW not doing that much better. But
We're not hitting the heights of 88, 89 WCW from the Flair Steamboat trilogy and all that kind of good stuff. We're not there.
JD and on Nitro this week in 1996, where were we at? What happened?
This week in WCW history, we are at the mothership, if you will, the Omni in Atlanta, GA, just off of Bad Street, where you had 6,000 fans, 3,619 of which paying fans. The rest are probably corporate comps, considering they're the home of Turner Broadcasting. They paid a gate of 42,840 American dollars. Meltzer would say this is probably more noteworthy for what was said than what was done. Let me just pause real quick here. Okay. You got a. This is also when Nitro and Raw, thank God for us reviewing both of them, were only an hour long each. Now, that will change over the course of this year, but for right now, January 1st, in fact, of 1996, they are both an hour long. We got Randy Savage and Arn Anderson as the opening match. You kidding me? Oh my gosh. Then after that, we got Steven Regal, Lord Steven Regal, still at this point, against Chris Benoit. My goodness gracious. This is, I am always pleasantly surprised when I go back and remember, because you think, oh, herder, WCW, whatever. And it had been that, and it would certainly become that again at some point, but there are still bright spots here. Dave poops on the Arn Savage match. And is it the best they're both capable of? Probably not. It's a good match. There's nothing wrong with it. Arn is working over the injured elbow of Savage the entire time and doing a good job of playing the classic old school heel that Arn was. I loved it. Maybe I'm looking through a little bit of nostalgia goggles, but I don't care. I really enjoyed it. Basically, Arn goes to the tights to pull out some nucks to hit Savage with him. There's a bit of a kerfluffle, and Savage winds up with the nucks and knocks Anderson out for the win. it was a 7:57, 7 minutes, 57 seconds. Meltzer gives it a star and a quarter. I thought it was better than that. I mean, I'm giving it a solid 2.5. Well, I'm gonna give it a thumbs up. But I mean, if I was doing a star, it'd be 2.5, 3 stars. I thought it was perfectly fine. We then have Steve Regal and Chris Benoit in 5:42. Benoit misses a plancha and Regal rolls him up in the middle of the ring, excuse me, for a pin. This was my kind of match. I loved this. This was mat wrestling and chain wrestling. I think we see here, this is kind of towards the bottom of Steven Regal's sort of drug addiction, though. You can tell he's about a step off and he's heavier than he needs to be, but he still looks convincing and the action looks convincing. I really liked this match. Now, I'll say this, Pittman, what's his, Craig Pittman comes in and asks Mongo to mentor him during this match, which I don't understand. Like the words, like I was telling Abby, the words were right and the words were good, and he pronounced them well. But it just, whatever it is, Sergeant Craig Pittman did not have it. I'm sorry to say, but it just, he sounded really stagey and awkward saying the lines, if that makes any sense. Did you get a sense of that, Ryan?
Honestly, I guess I didn't look that much into it. I didn't get that feel off of it.
Okay.
But
It just seemed very stilted. I don't know. Maybe he's just not used to being on the mic. And also, why would you ask Mongo for help wrestling? That doesn't make any sense. So anyway, after the Regal Benoit match, Arn and Pillman, comprising three of the four horsemen, of course, your 12-time world champion at this point, Ric Flair. Is the fourth horseman, obviously. But Pillman basically does kind of a gut check, yelling at both of them about losing their matches, and they both come up with excuses, this and that. And then they which is really weird. Meltzer says this call almost cost Pillman his job. I don't know if that's the case. Maybe it is. But he said that Benoit only performs well with naked women in the limo, which is just weird at the time. And now, looking back with the benefit of hindsight, horribly cringy, considering what would happen later in the Benoit story. Anyway, Kevin Sullivan and Zodiac come out to argue with the Horsemen for some reason. They're all trying to take down Hogan, I guess, is the point here. But Hogan's been taken down. He doesn't have the belt. So a lot of it doesn't make any sense. Jimmy Hart has an interview where he says sometimes maybe he'll manage the Dungeon of Doom. Sometimes he'll manage the Four Horsemen. Whoever it is that can bring Hogan down, he's going to be on their side. It was odd. So the matches so far pretty good. The creative, so WCW, in other words. We get Luger and Sting with the super assassins who are apparently amassed, pardon me, Warlord and Barbarian. In 5:48, when Luger racked Barbarian or Super Assassin Uno, I don't remember, while Sting Scorpion the Warlord. This is actually second best match of the show, according to Meltzer. That was not my experience with it. It was a typical filler match. I don't know, what you wanted here, but it was basically to advance the storyline of Luger and Sting. Are they buddies? Are they not buddies? Are they going back and forth? What's happening? It was bizarre. So that's all leading up to our main event of Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair for the world title. Hogan wins by a DQ, so the title does not change hands. He wins in 7:54. Meltzer saying it was all Flair could do to carry Hogan to the level match he used to have with Junkyard Dog. Whatever. It was a typical Hogan TV match, not a squash, but just whatever. It's fine. I'm gonna give this match maybe a thumbs. Yeah, I'm gonna give that a thumbs down. I give the previous match a thumbs down after the first two were both thumbs up. So we have four matches. We're in and out in less than an hour. It's not a bad watch at this point. But as I was telling Abby watching this, again, the undercard for WCW is really solid. The main events need work, which is kind of the flip side of what happens in the WWF a lot of the times. Ryan, any comments on this show before you get into the WWF offer?
This is obviously the era of spoilers for WCW. As a matter of fact, they actually spoil Monday Night Raw for everybody at the beginning of this show, talking about the Raw Bowl, which is essentially a ripoff of the Battle Bowl, but with
Wasn't even
football.
a good idea to do the first time.
I mean, Battle Bowl was not good, and then you went with the, but anyways, so they give
Yeah.
away the finish on all of those. Yeah, man, Bischoff out for blood and in this instance. So yeah, I think that both of these actually, just because some of the booking and creative on this is just silly. And it's worth a watch. One, because it's not going to take up much of your time, and two, a little bit of a nostalgia feel on some of this. So,
Yeah.
I would. It's not good, but it's not bad. So I'm gonna I'll say that if it came down to it, yeah, I'd watch it again.
Sure.
Just as far as that's concerned, but. Segueing into Monday Night Raw, as I mentioned, we have a what can only be described as Battle Bowl. If WCW Battle Bowl, the NCAA, and the NFL had a threesome, and somehow one of them conceived a baby and dropped it on its head
And
as
peed
it
on it.
was, and perhaps removed a couple limbs. The idea,
That's generous. Saying calling this an idea is generous.
I don't understand. Basically, what it is that you have a four-way tag team match that you can tag in your partner and wrestle your partner, which if you pin your partner, then you win and lose.
Then I'm happy and sad for you.
Then
Now you had of note, you have to make physical contact with your opponent before you can tag out. So if
yeah,
two
and
tag
this
team partners
is
get in, they have to touch each other.
yeah, they've basically taken the and Vince made it a point to say that this is the first annual Raw Bowl, which
And it never happened again.
to date, it is the only Raw Bowl. But you know, hey, we brought back a few matches we probably didn't have any business bringing back. So, whatever. I hold out hope. Bring me Raw Bowl. So
Well,
yeah,
is this an excuse for Vince to look at a sheet of football terms and throw them out without context or any idea of what they mean?
So this is the Smoking Guns versus Savio Vega and Razor Ramon and Sid and the Kid. And Owen Hart and Yokozuna. A lot of football terminology used in this. And the Guns are the tag team champions, but this is not for their championship. The commentary here is pretty irritating, just with all the football puns. Goldust gives
Terrible.
Some gold roses to Razor, you know, sends his usher down there, and apparently Goldust has a bit of a crush on Mr. Ramon. And Vince also makes a comment that saying that Million Dollar Team is under investigation by the NAACP for recruiting violations.
Yeah,
Which,
NAACP. He doesn't understand what the NCAA is.
yeah.
Jeez.
Okay, so he meant NCAA. Okay.
Yeah, he meant NCAA, but he said he did it like two or three times.
Yeah, the mat's green, the football lines are painted on it, and Earl Hebner is dressed up like an NFL referee. Even has flags. Oh, by the way,
Yeah, there's flags.
each team can call a timeout.
One timeout.
One
Yes.
timeout. No one basically the Hearts get us started off, and then it's quickly to Billy and Bart facing each other, and they make required contact for tagging in Owen and Yoko. Owen is forced to get in with threat of penalty flag, which I don't know what the penalty flag would be.
Did he had to back up 5 yards and then go back into the ring again? I don't understand what that means.
I don't know. Anyways, off to anyways, Vega gets tagged in, but he's quickly taken down with a Samoan drop. Yoko tags out to Vega as Lawler talks about these penalties, which again, nobody knows what these penalties are. That is not explained. Apparently, there is someone that is the Raw Bowl Queen. She comes
Who
down
is
and
that?
I don't know. But you know, Jerry Lawler seems to like her. And there's a anyways, so Bart and Razor go at it for a while, and it's quickly back to Savio. And Savio tags off to Sid, and the crowd goes mild for Sid. And Bart's taken down and comes back with a very nice delayed vertical suplex on Sid, which was interesting. I mean, as far as the action is concerned, the action's not bad. It's just I don't nobody really understands what we're watching here.
Yeah.
But anyways, so Yoko comes back in as Brother Love cuts into the locker room talking about something that honestly I didn't even know what he was saying.
He was praying. That was the invocation. That was the pregame invocation. And it ran throughout the entire episode because he's got his eyes closed. He doesn't realize everyone else has left the locker room.
Yoko doesn't really stay in long at all before it's back to the 1-2-3 kid who misses a leg drop on Savio. Anyways, but yeah, Razor gets the follow-away slam, and Bart Owen misses the top rope splash, and Bart is able to tag Billy for some cleaning of the house, and Sid comes right in, stops on Billy, then he stops on Billy and keeps stomping on Billy against the ropes. Kid comes in with a drop kick in the corner to set up clothesline from Sid. And Bart gets on the middle rope to play cheerleader. But Sid kicks Billy in the face to silence the crowd immediately. Billy walks into a choke slam, but Sid picks him up instead of covering. And Bart gets kicked off the apron to distract the referee as Razor runs out to shove Kid into Sid, giving Billy a fluke pin. I'll be honest with you, I hate everything about this match. It made no sense. There was a lot of Hall of Fame talent in this ring. And matter of fact, pretty much everybody that's in this ring should probably be in the Hall of Fame. And yes, I'm including Smoking Guns in this. It's not a bad match, action-wise, but the creative is terrible. And by the way, the tag team division in WWF at this point is awful.
Well, if you have to put together, splice together Razor Ramon and Savio Vega to make up a tag, you can't come up with four tag teams, then yeah, it's pretty bad.
Well, the Godwins are there. I don't know why they didn't. Whatever.
Was
Godwins
he
are
going to
capable, I
replay the
suppose.
Triple H Henry Goblin match from In Your House?
Yeah, they really phoned it in for this one.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, as far as like taking a chance on something, they definitely took a chance. They had cheerleaders, they had a band, the Raw Bowl Queen, which apparently is also a beauty pageant. Yeah, I mean, but I just don't get it. Imagine like going to this Raw thinking that you're going to see all these matches and this is what you see.
I don't know if the University of Delaware blew him faithful there, because that's where this is coming from. really cared all that much. They were just excited to get an event.
Yeah. Up next, they do show the, as you mentioned, the tape of Triple H and Henry O. Godwin in the Hogpen match. And the idea of the match is to take your opponent to the Hogpen that is located just outside of the aisles and throw him in the Hogpen. And
That's it. That's the match.
that's the match. There's pigs over there that are just as happy as they can be.
Happy as hogs in slop, baby.
Henry for some reason slaps the ring announcer before the match starts. And Helmsley, obviously this is blue blood Triple H, hates that Henry is a blue collar man, that he works with his hands, yada yada yada. So it's basically the South versus the North.
Or maybe
So,
England, but it was never clear with Triple H that accent.
yeah.
They said he was from Connecticut, but he spoke all with an almost British accent.
Yeah, but anyways, Helmsley gets bulldogged into the steps, which is a pretty interesting spot to see. Not something that you see a whole lot of anymore. They head up to the pen with Henry being whipped at the gate, and still manages to block a pedigree attempt with a backdrop. Helmsley lands on the edge of the pen and kicks Henry down before dropping an elbow to the chest. During this, King is making quite a few Bitters Arkansas jokes. For instance, if going to the bathroom at night requires shoes and a flashlight, you might be from Bitters, Arkansas. Now, mind you, this is 1996. Jeff Foxworthy
Right.
is popular during this time. Still popular today, but this is peak Foxworthy, I would say.
You're probably right about that.
Anyways, Helmsley's whipped into the two corners to the floor, and Godwin hits a wheelbarrow slam, and Helmsley gets a couple of handful of slop, and Henry hits a slop drop by the pin, which I love the name of that move, the slop drop.
Slop
Love it.
drop. Yeah, that's
Love
pretty
it.
cool.
But can't follow up. Instead, he charges at Helmsley and gets backdrop into the slop to end into the not the slop, but to the pin to end things. And then he grabs Helmsley and throws Helmsley over, and to his credit, old Henry is a pretty strong old dude. Puts him up in a press slam
Who's big boy?
and just drops him Ultimate Warrior style into the pig poop.
The slizop.
Yeah, it's. I remember I got can't remember the name of the home video that this was on. It was either Slamfest or something else. Anyways, it was like unique matches, and this was one that was on it. And then the other one was Razor Ramon and 1-2-3 Kid in the Crybaby match, where the point of the match is to put the diaper on your opponent, which you do so after you pin them. And then there was the Jerry Lawler Kiss My Foot match with Bret Hart. But anyways, this was one of them. And I have probably seen this match no less than about 50 times, just because I didn't have a whole lot of wrestling movies to watch at home. So that was I watched the hell out of this. So it's interesting to see this. I have not seen this match in, I'll say, at least 20 years. But interesting. But no, it's bad. It's all bad. Not good whatsoever.
Very bad. It's very bad.
And I guess I'll just mention the last one, King Mabel versus Diesel. King Mabel somehow gets carried into the ring by six people.
God bless
And
those people. They need a few more people.
yeah, they back problems. And King Mabel takes a step into the ring and Diesel comes out, shows up, puts the boot to him, pins him, and yeah, just
No
that's all she
jackknife?
wrote. Jackknifed Mo. He couldn't jackknife King Mabel, it seems. And of course, the smoking guns get presented with the Lombardi Trophy, the Steve Lombardi Trophy.
That was actually kind of funny. I didn't
I
think of
actually did like that.
that.
Steve Lombardi, of course, is the Brooklyn Brawler, and presents it to the guns and gets his ass kicked for his efforts. And then for some reason, they have a cooler of iced tea and it's dumped on him. And basically, I think this whole Raw was to pretty much announce that Vader is entering the Royal Rumble. So you get his debut video here. You also get Billionaire Ted's wrestling war room.
In the main event slot, I'd like to point out they put that in the main event slot of the. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
They had two matches and one recorded match.
And then this is the main event.
Actually, I don't know if the Diesel and Mabel match was recorded or live, but anyways, well, I mean, obviously it was all recorded, but live to
Right.
tape, I suppose.
Live to date, yeah.
But yeah, it's
So they put
the
this on the main event slot is the point.
WWF is in some serious trouble to start off
Good
1996.
Lord.
This is
Brutal.
this is bad. It's all bad. Every bit
God,
of
it's
it.
yeah.
It's not good at all. And but you know, it gets better. Behind the
It will
scenes,
get better before the end of the year.
behind the scenes, this is the week where Diamond Dallas Page has arrived at Eric Bischoff's house, knocks on his door, and says, "Hey, I have a friend named Scott Hall, and his contract's coming up. Maybe we can work
Bischoff
something
says,
out."
wait, you mean the diamond stud?
Yeah, sure he does. But yeah, so this is kind of interesting that, like, as it happens, you see all this garbage that's in the ring, and but behind the scenes, you're really about to see some really good creative about to come
Yeah.
through.
Yeah.
Keep in mind that Scott Hall puts in his notice on the 20th of the January, and I believe he debuts in May
May. It's in
of
May.
this year. So, yeah, looking forward to it. This is it's not good.
It's bad. It's real bad.
I would watch them because honestly, I completely forgot about the Raw Bowl.
I was grateful to have forgotten about the Raw Bowl.
And now I kind of wish I still had forgotten about it. But anyway, so yeah, it gets 0 stars out of me. It's just a piss poor effort in my opinion. But yeah, what'd you think?
It's bad. It's just bad. I mean, you would have thought that the WWF having such a head start on WCW meant that Nitro would never catch up to Raw. They're trading victories now. And the Monday Night Wars hadn't even got started real good yet. Like, I mean, they're already back and forth, which I think is an indictment of the WWF at this time. Because Raw Bowl. And you take your main event slot just to take stupid pot shots at your opponent. That's what you use it for. You don't try to, we like to focus on ourselves, but no, the hell you don't. No, this is crap. This is all crap. Fortunately, it will get better this year, but we're starting off at a real low point in WWF world.
Yeah, I think yeah, it starts out bad, but it gets better. Anything else you want to
It
add to
does get
this?
better. Yeah, speaking of starting off at a low point, 48-17, your final in New Orleans.
Oh,
So I'd
that's
like
fair.
to wish Arthur Smith the best in his future endeavors. And you go be a senior vice president at FedEx, buddy. Please leave this alone.
Yep, it's unfortunate. Rooted for him, but obviously he's not the guy. Same
I
with
defended him
Dez.
the last 2 years. Like the last 2 years of coming in 7-10, I defended him because of the cap constraints we're at. Now with, the second or third most cap money available at the beginning of the season, and we're 7-10 again. Yeah, I'm sorry. Please go home and be the son of a multi-billionaire.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's it. That's all I have for that. Also, I guess we haven't talked since the epic beatdown of what remained of FSU's team by your University of Georgia Bulldogs. Any thoughts on the Orange Bowl from this year?
Well, certainly looked like the committee got
Right?
it right. I mean, honestly.
No, I mean, 'cause that's not, I mean, they wouldn't have had all those opt outs if they were in the playoff. Now, granted, do I think that if both teams were at full strength, people forget we had like 20 some odd guys out too between transfers and opt outs. So, look, they lost more starters than we did. That's fair. That's a fair thing to say. But I still think we win this game by 2-3 scores, even at full strength. So we just lost at the exact wrong time. If we'd handled business at the SEC title game, we'd be hoisting that trophy again for the third time in a row, third year in a row, no doubt in my mind. But c'est la vie, I like our chances for next year. Welcome home, ETN.
Well, all right, guys. Well, that being said, this is the end of week one. It's going to be an interesting year. But anyways, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook at Army of Smartness, and of course, email the Gmail, armyofsmartness@gmail.com. And JD, I will bid our listening audience adieu. Adieu.